When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock. It's the Fight In.
Really interesting, mate. Yeah.
Welcome, listeners, to The Extra Inch. My name is Windy, and I'm joined by our tactics guy, Nathan A. Clark. Hello, Nathan.
Hello, mate.
We've got no Bardi this time round. He's out having fun at the Fighting Cock live, the social for the Barcelona game. We might try and get him on the phone later if we can. But we're actually recording this pre-match, and we thought we'd just do a bit of a reaction to the team news first, and then come back post-match to talk about how the game's gone. But to start off with, as you'll know, we're still working with OneFootball, which is a football app. It's available on the App Store and Google Play. And they've currently got an article which has given me the creeps somewhat, because it's an interview whereby Pochettino has said that Barcelona could steal Kane. And he references how stars like Ronaldo and Coutinho have gone to Spain. And he does say, you know, it's not just the finance, it also depends on the player's aspirations. But Nathan, has that ever bothered you, the theory that Kane could one day leave and go to Barcelona?
I don't think that Kane is really a Barcelona player. People's opinions of Kane is even further removed from that. They think that he's just sort of a sluggish, big old target man, which he's not. He is a silky footballer, but he's still not really a Barcelona forward. It'll be a little bit like when Zlatan Ibrahimovic was at Barcelona, in that, you know, again, he's not just a big lump. He's a silky player in his own right, but he wasn't really right for Barcelona. Certainly not a peak Messi Barcelona. Maybe they'll now move away from the identity and the playstyle they have, and he'll suit them more. But I don't think I think Real Madrid really is the threat for Kane, but that's down the line. I'm not worried.
I tend to agree. I think you're right that stylistically he's much more suited to Real. But I think he's good enough to play at the top level for anyone, in a sense.
For sure.
It just, I guess it depends on whether we can continue to match Kane's ambition, and whether we can do that will hinge a lot on what happens over the next two transfer windows. But let's talk about tonight's match. So we've just seen the team news, and it's surprising. Talk us through the lineup, Nathan.
So yesterday I did a quick Twitter thread looking at what I essentially saw as the three options that we could play today, and they were a diamond, a 3-5-2, or a 4-3-3. And in each of those, I had Eric Dier starting, and apparently he's not included at all. I don't know if he's injured or Poch has decided this is a good time to rest him. So it looks like Winks is going to be our deepest midfield player. Whether that is in a three-man midfield with a diamond or a 4-3-3, or whether that is alongside Sissoko in a 4-2-3-1, and I certainly hope it isn't, remains to be seen. And if it's none of those, I'll just delete this entire section.
So if it is Winks and Sissoko in a 4-2-3-1, why does that scare you so much?
Just because I don't think that is a midfield by any rights. I think that's horribly misbalanced. I think Winks has a lot of really positive qualities that I adore him for, but he's not one to really be a force in midfield. He's not especially physical. He's not great defensively. And if you put him alongside Sissoko, he'll be abandoned. He'll have to run a midfield on his own, which is just not an option, especially against Barcelona. I really dislike that as a midfield pairing. It just doesn't match up for me at all.
in some senses, they're both transition players, but in different ways. Sissoko running with the ball and quickly skipping past the first line of attack, and Winks moving the ball quickly from defence to attack. But you're right that neither of them are particularly adept defensively. I think Sissoko is very good at sticking to a defensive task if he's given something very specific to do. And Winks is fine at sitting deep, but he's not one to sort of, I don't know, he's not one to put tackles in, he's not one to even make that many interceptions. He's more of a player to give the ball to when you've got it, rather than to win the ball back when you haven't got it. It'll be interesting to see whether Eriksen or Dele is the deepest lying player alongside those two, because we've tried both at various points over the past 2 years, and they've both got their qualities. I guess it depends more on which one of those two you want closest to Kane. Would you agree with that?
I think it's more about which one Pochettino feels is suited to the deeper role. I think that takes a priority. He's definitely lent to Eriksen in that situation more recently, though I think that this is a case where you could argue for the reverse. In my head and on Twitter, I've got it down as Eriksen playing in midfield, but there is an argument for switching those two around in this game, just because that isn't... Barcelona aren't a very physical side, so that isn't a very physical midfield, so we could potentially create an advantage there. If you play Winks, but Sissoko and Dele in midfield together, we might sort of overrun them there.
And one of the overriding themes of the preview from a kind of optimistic Spurs perspective is that Barcelona are susceptible to crosses. And we know that Dele is absolutely fantastic at attacking the back post in the air. That's one of his key strengths. And so that might be of use with Dele playing higher up. I mean, we haven't even spoken about the major team news because we're kind of used to the idea. But Kyle Walker-Peters is playing against Barcelona. This is just insane. What do you make of this situation that we've got ourselves into?
Pochettino has done that really annoying thing where he said, well, of course he's going to play, of course he's good enough. Look, do I have to tell you that he won the Under-20 World Cup? And I imagine you thought the same in saying, no, I have to tell you he won the Under-20 World Cup. Was it Euros? If I embarrassed myself there. Obviously we want to see Walker-Peters get game time and we'll take it where we can. But it's a bit scary for him to be dropped in it here, and you don't want him to sort of have a horrible performance against... I think he's going to be playing opposite Coutinho. It looks like Coutinho's going to be playing in off the left, varying between a 4-4-2 and a 4-3-3 for Barcelona. So obviously that's a difficult thing, although with Coutinho cutting inside, he'll then be playing a lot of the game against the opposite fullback, which is Juan Miranda, I think. It's a tough ask, and hopefully he impresses people, and if he doesn't, then people will give him sort of the benefit of the situation he's been put into.
Absolutely. Miranda is a similarly inexperienced player. He's not played any La Liga or Champions League matches for Barcelona. In fact, he actually played in their youth league campaign this season. So he's similarly inexperienced. He's also a lot younger than Kyle. He's 18. But having said that, he's a lot taller. He's 6'1". He's physically imposing, whereas Walker-Peters, as we know, is quite short still. Very short, really. He looks small on the pitch. I don't see it as a huge issue because I think he's a good reader of the game, and he's low centre of gravity is actually really helpful defensively and offensively. I think he can cope, but it's a big ask for him tonight. I just hope he doesn't let himself down, because that can be the end of a player's opportunities if they have one bad game as a youth player. So fingers crossed for him. Nathan, how do you... I mean, I don't want to embarrass you, but how do you feel this is going to go? What's your gut feel pre-match?
I'm looking at the lineups and I'm seeing two teams who are very top heavy, very attack heavy, and I think we could be in for a chaotic, dramatic, heart attack inducing 3-3 or something ridiculous like that. I'm nervous, but I'm not completely pessimistic.
Do you know what? I feel as though Winks has got this. I know that sounds crazy. He's the only vaguely defensive midfielder in our front six. But I've seen Winks in similar circumstances before perform a disciplined, mature role, and I just feel like he can. I feel like he's got it. He can do it if he really focuses. And it's not a full strength Barca team. You know, Artur is an amazing midfielder, and I think he'll dictate the tempo. But I don't see why Winks can't start things for us from a counter attacking perspective. I don't think we're going to win this match, but I think we're going to be in it. I feel like we can get a draw, and then let's see what happens with Inter and PSV.
I don't think a draw is going to be good enough. I don't think there's much value in sort of going out and saying, "Well, let's go for a draw and see what happens." Because PSV are already out, and I don't know what their rotation side looks like. But I don't think we can put much faith in PSV here.
It's going to be one of those classic times where the fans know what's happening in the other match.
Oh, God.
And the anxiety is just going to be creeping onto the pitch constantly when anything happens in that game.
Jesus.
And we might even see Pochettino, like, literally getting messages about the scoreline in the other game. It's going to be so interesting to see.
You're reminding me of that Southampton game when Arsenal were playing Newcastle. Oh, fucking hell.
Nathan, are you worried about, like, what happens in this game? So, I mean, I wrote a blog article yesterday describing this as a bit of a free hit, because the worst case scenario is we don't qualify and we drop into the Europa League. Do you see that as a disaster?
I hate the Europa League so much. I think that it will damage our season being in it. What it represents, but also what it materialises. If the options here were continuing in the Champions League or not participating in Europe, I think I would care less. That's how strongly I feel about the Europa League at the moment. I think there's so little value in it. I think it's so hard to win it. Fans are going to get angry at me this because, you know, we want to win a trophy, and of course we do, and of course it presents itself as an opportunity, but I think it does more damage to our league than it offers in possibility on the other end.
Right. I mean, I was probably looking a bit glass half full in terms of being able to give the youngsters some opportunities, the same way that Arsenal have done with Smith Rowe. I feel like Skip is ready for it.
Absolutely, if we were to approach it in that way, but...
You feel like Poch won't do that?
I think Poch would approach the group stage like that, as we've seen before, and that's how Kane broke the team. But going into knockout rounds and we draw, you know, sort of half-decent, you know, Italian and German teams or whatever, it will just run Kane into the ground more.
Yeah, you're winning me over with this argument. I don't trust Poch to just play a fully rotated team. If I did trust him to do that, I'd be not unhappy with the Europa League, but you're right that he probably won't. Oh, man. So what we're saying is we need to win this game.
Pretty much.
Right. Nathan, I will speak to you maybe at halftime, or if not, then definitely post-match.
Awesome.
Enjoy.
Yeah, that's right. You too.
Harry Kane sur la gauche, l'appel de Lucas Moura. Harry Kane a été servi. Harry Kane côté gauche, la frappe de Kane. Oh, Lucas Moura!
So we're back, and we've just qualified for the next stage of the Champions League. I don't quite know how. Thank you, PSV, for everything you've done for us tonight. What an incredible match. I still don't quite know what I make of it. Nathan, initial thoughts?
Oh, fucking hell. I'm all over the place. I'm shaking. Jesus, yeah, my feeling was when we were still 1-0 down that, like, the performance had been good and we have something to be proud of, at least in that, but, like, we're through anyway, so I'm ecstatic. Oh my God.
This was a vintage Tottenham Hotspur performance for the ages, I think. We weren't perfect, we were nowhere near perfect, but some of our attacking play, away at Barcelona, was insane tonight. Absolutely insane. I mean, I want to pick out Eriksen first because he was just a magician at times. The weight of his pass this evening was absolutely immaculate. There was one towards the end, last 5 minutes, where he's been given the ball by Alderweireld out on the right. He's running towards the touchline and he somehow sees, I think it was Kane in the middle of the pitch, and he manages to swivel his body and play a pass through two players who were about to cut it out. Absolutely inch perfectly, and it just kind of summed up his performance in terms of his vision and his ability. Some players can see a pass and some players can play the pass. He could do both immaculately, and he was just amazing. Absolutely amazing. Who stood out for you, Nathan?
Yeah, definitely Eriksen. I thought Mr. Moussa Sissoko did himself proud.
He was great.
So at half-time, we played a diamond pretty much throughout, although there was some variation on that. And we talked in the first half and also on Twitter about whether Dele would play as the number 10 or in midfield. He started as the 10 and did a perfectly good job with sort of receiving longer balls and flicking the ball on early and stuff like that, connecting play up in that sort of method. But then we switched it around at half-time and Eriksen moved to 10 with Dele in midfield. Maybe that was, as we discussed beforehand, about getting Dele's physicality in midfield. But I think maybe that was about getting an improved quality of final pass from Eriksen by getting him to play those through balls. And we saw some really lovely stuff from him until Lamella moved into that role.
Oh, my God. I mean, Dele was great. He was really, really great. I can't remember him giving the ball away too much and certainly not trying too many risky things like he often does. And yet still just sort of seemed to win every 50-50 he was in for. Really creative, really intelligent. And the other player who was just absolutely exceptional was Danny Rose. That performance,
yeah,
that came out of nowhere. It was like, that was peak Rose.
I mean, considering he was up against Ousmane Dembele in for 60 minutes and then Messi for the final half hour, he shut them both down and he offered threat in the reverse. He maybe wasn't great in the box and he had that sort of fluff chance.
Oh, God, if he'd scored that goal,
that would have made it a 10 out of 10, wouldn't it? Yeah. But his ability to like have a clever touch, to knock it on with the disguise, to bring it inside, the burst of pace coming backwards. Yeah, he was brilliant.
And I feel like also, you know, like, we haven't even mentioned Kane yet, and that's how much he's taken for granted now, because there were some things he did that were just the ultimate centre-forward play. Some of his hold-up was immaculate. You know, he's winning stuff in the air. It's so physically draining to be constantly competing for high balls in the air. And yet he doesn't look tired after 70, 80 minutes. He still looks like he can, you know, try and get on the shoulder and beat his man into the box. What do you make of the penalty call where, you know, he was one-on-one and he had a hand on his back and it just nudged him off his stride? What do you make of that?
It reminded me of Kyle Walker on Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a penalty? With VAR, is that a penalty?
Possibly. I think it was really well disguised.
I think
he made it look softer than it was, which is a really special art. And as someone who's played a lot of defensive roles in football, it's something that I look up to in that regard. I think defenders should be allowed a certain amount of physicality in those situations. Obviously, I'm a Tottenham fan. I'm going to say it's a penalty, but I can understand the opposite.
And then you had the little shirt tug on Lucas as well, which I thought was, that's a borderline call as well. I think VAR may have found that to have been a penalty. I mean, we were really wasteful in front of goal. When you look back at the number of chances we created and missed, Son's one-on-one was a fantastic chance. Kane's one-on-one we just spoke about. And then Lucas's header in the middle of the six-yard box, he's got to bury that. He kind of heads it onto his thigh and it dribbles towards the line. You're thinking, is it going to go over? And it was a really good save in the end. And Cederson had a cracking match.
He really did, yeah. Yeah, as much as our finishing wasn't great, I think that Cederson's had an incredible goalkeeper performance. He wasn't great on the ball.
No.
Not that he isn't good on the ball, but I think that when you're used to Ter Stegen and you pass it back to him, you get accustomed to that level of comfort and you forget that actually most goalkeepers aren't like outfielders on the ball, and you pass it to Cederson and maybe he's going to be a little wobbly. So we did a good job of putting him under pressure in those situations, but his goalkeeping, his saving was outstanding tonight.
Right. And Lloris, conversely, was really decent on the ball tonight. I mean, he played a lot of long passes and I thought played them incredibly well. And I was happy to see him attempt some longer passes. And, you know, we've got players who can compete in the air, in Kane and Dele in particular. And Lloris's passing was fantastic.
He came out as well. He swept up because he played such a high line against some rapid players. But he came out well. He did also let a shot go underneath him.
Yeah, true. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, Kyle Walker-Peters.
Sure.
What did you make of this performance from him? He played 60 minutes in the end.
Well, I think the 60 minutes is something that can be sort of viewed either way. It's a curious choice of Pochettino, but I'll talk about... I think he had a good performance. I think he also had a massive slip-up at the beginning of the game that's going to do him a lot of harm in the eyes of the fans. Probably I think Pochettino will be more forgiving, and I hope that Pochettino controls the narrative around this game by rewarding him with more time, because I think that lights can be shone on this performance that say, you know, oh, we got a chance and he fucked it up because he let, you know, Ousmane Dembele is fucking amazing, by the way. So he's going to make a lot of very good defenders look silly. I think Pochettino can either make it look bad by continuing to not play him, or he can make him look good by giving him more game time. So it doesn't become that time Kyle Walker-Peters has started and ruined everything, but it becomes that slightly shaky start, but that sort of milestone. And hey, you know, he started against Barcelona.
And Poch has got form for this, as we saw with Juan Foyth, who had a similar kind of... In fact, Foyth's performance against Wolves is very similar to Walker-Peters tonight in terms of really good overall play. You take out the mistakes and you think that's an excellent performance, but there are mistakes there. And I'm always a believer that young players don't necessarily make more mistakes than not young players. But... having said that, a more experienced player doesn't do what Kyle Walker-Peters did tonight, which
probably
was
not.
He lingered. He was caught in two minds. He either has to fire the ball straight upfield or play it straight back along the deck to Lloris. And he lingered, he thought about it. Suddenly you've got this, like you say, incredible player in Dembele bearing down on him. I mean, how terrifying must that be? Winks rather committed himself in the challenge also. But then Walker-Peters had a slightly nervy sort of 5-10 minutes after that, and he picked up a booking as well. I mean, it was such a pity because he started so well with that sort of beating his man on the outside and then drawing a foul, which...
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, when that happened, I'm thinking, please lead to a goal so I can say, yes, Kyle, you know, give him some praise early on. And then when he makes those two mistakes, the goal and then the yellow card, I'm thinking, this is it for him, he's done. But fair play, he came back strong and he had some good moments after that. He had a really good... little turnout from quite a difficult position, and then a forced forward pass, which led to, I think, Rose's cross for Son's chance, which just went ahead of Son in the first half. And he had a couple of other kind of trademark Walker-Peters runs where he gets the ball down and he commits his man and sees what happens. He tended to turn back and pass it back because there was nothing on, but, you know, that was him sort of growing in confidence with his running and his dribbling as it went on. So he turned it round. It wasn't great as a sort of first high profile showing, but there's so much more to come from him. He's a talented player. And it was never going to be easy against Barcelona, let's be honest.
He looks so good on the ball. He's so comfortable, and I think that probably did us quite a bit of good in build-up, in that pressing was a major part in this game, and both teams sort of discomfort on the ball in deep areas, and also sort of mixed ability pressing as well. Having someone who, yeah, he played it safe and he brought it inside and everything, but we've seen some mess-ups in that area.
Sure.
So the goal is going to overshadow everything, but I think otherwise he had a really nice game.
I agree. I was just so relieved for him that it didn't affect the end result, essentially, because that would have been horrendous. I want to say a quick word about Harry Winks as well, because I saw a lot of criticism for Winks at half-time, and he had some rough moments in the first half, sure, but I thought... So I think the thing about Winks that he does really, really well that is perhaps understated is when we've got the ball and we're attacking and we're keeping the ball going around the edge of the opponent's box, he is always in the right place at the right time to pick up the second balls, to recycle quickly. No fuss. Get it under control, play the ball out. Get it under control, play the ball out. And there aren't that many players in the Premier League or playing in England who can do that as well as Winks can. So for a possession team... a man backing up at the edge of the box with as much technical ability as he has is so useful, and he was great at that tonight. I mean, we spoke in the first part of the podcast about his defensive deficiencies, and I think they were obvious in the first half of the match. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think he had some nice defensive play. I think he had an interception and a tackle. And sort of those things that aren't quite recognised as interceptions because they're intercepting a misplaced pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. I think he had a really nice game. He had a really tidy game under difficult circumstances. It doesn't, not to the extent where it says, oh, okay, we're sorted for midfield, because I think that our midfield was still quite... I'm trying to avoid using the word messy because of the player messy, but... awkward at midfield, and that isn't suddenly resolved, but he definitely had a good game today that he can be proud of.
I'm glad you agree with me on that, because I do feel as though Winks is becoming a little bit of a whipping boy amongst some fans, and I just don't think it's quite fair.
It's okay to say that he has weaknesses and to point them out and to discuss them, but it's not okay to place the blame of a club who have achieved what we have over the last few years, who've grown to the level that we have over the last few years, to be as bad in midfield. It's not the fault of a 22-year-old academy product. It's not his fault that he's not Moussa Dembélé, because very few players are.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he should be a rotation for us.
Yeah.
And we're getting to the point where he's probably our best central midfielder who's regularly fit and available. And that puts a hell of a lot of pressure on his shoulders. I was really pleased with his performance today. As we're talking, I'm just looking at the XG numbers that have come up for tonight's game. Barcelona 1.6, Tottenham Hotspur 2.3.
Wow.
I mean, I thought actually it might have been higher for us. But I guess all of the shots we took on were from some way out, other than Lucas's header.
But not under a huge amount of pressure, because we were transitioning into the box all the time or playing against the higher line. So, yeah, I guess that makes sense. I think that we also, because you're talking about maybe it could be even higher, I think we had quite a few sort of, we didn't quite get the shot away.
That's true.
But we broke into the box sort of situation.
That's true.
But, I mean, yeah, to create those chances as a reflection on the performance, it was a weakened Barcelona squad.
They were nowhere near as good as I expected tonight.
No, and they weren't. And they weren't going to be with, you know, Vermaelen and Rakitic playing as their defensive midfielder.
Vermaelen was horrendous.
Yeah, he's
absolutely horrendous. I mean, he could have been sent off, to be honest.
I think he should have been. I think he had a yellow, and then a couple of minutes later, he tackled Son. Son kept the ball, but that doesn't make it not a foul. I think that should have been a second yellow for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think he was lucky to stay on the pitch. And I really like Artur as a player. I think he's excellent, but he was nowhere near as good tonight as he was in the first game.
Really worried when they brought Busquets on. I texted you as much, saying, you know, I'm worried about the options that they've got on the bench, because although we're probably the better team in the first half, you know, they can adjust. And immediately they brought Busquets on, I thought, oh shit, that's it. Like, because they were just control midfield. But we made our own change with the players we kept on the pitch by moving Eriksen, and we were even better in the second than we were in the first half.
Yeah, I don't know what Pochettino said to them at half time, but we were so feisty. I loved it. We were just in their faces, winning every second ball, throwing players forward and not worrying about getting caught on the counter, because we had them running scared. They couldn't commit too many players forward because we were doing the same thing. It was so positive. It was great. I really, really enjoyed this game.
I think once it went to 1-1, they were thinking, well, we'll take a draw because we don't want to lose at home. We're not going to commit too many players forwards and risk a draw, risk a loss and sort of, you know, tarnish our home records. I don't know what their home record has been like this season, but normally it is really, really good. So I think they were happy to take a draw in the end, which was huge because I was a mess.
Yeah, right. And I want to ask you one more thing, which is what noise did you make when Lucas's goal went in?
I did shout. My dad shouted louder and he scared the dogs. I had to go comfort the dogs who were scared.
Good work, Mr. Clark. Well done to him. I sort of made a breath. I couldn't catch my breath. I was very breathy. Normally I sort of squeal, but I was very breathy in this. I couldn't quite get on top of my cheering. I was like out of my seat, punching the air. Oh, God, it's so great.
It makes me wish I was at the Fighting Cocks event for
so
one.
Much so
I need
much.
To get to one soon.
Yeah, I couldn't go today because of work situation, but I wish I was there so bad. I bet they're having a great time now celebrating.
I broke my sunglasses for the City one. My fucking got trampled. So yeah, it'll be good to get to one of them in the near future.
Absolutely. Right, should we leave it there, Nath? Because we're probably rambling on like excited teenagers.
I just want to put in that that I think that this is such a big difference to this season, because I think that this is going to be a really quiet season. I think that I'm scared to put this in words on the podcast, but I feel like third is pretty much a lock either way. It just feels like we could have a good season from now on, we could have a bad season from now on, but we're pretty much going to finish third or fourth, and not a lot will change that, and that makes for a dull season. Having the Champions League in there, I don't know what the dates are exactly, but it feels like we're going to get Champions League in the new stadium and fulfil that bloody advert.
Yeah, that's the big thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's the stadium. It's making sure we're in the Champions League in the new stadium.
Yeah.
And it gives us perhaps a bit of encouragement to make some big signings in January, which is so badly needed.
Yeah.
It's essential. I mean, this is the biggest January transfer window since the Nelson Sahar window. And we cannot let this window go past without signing anyone. We just can't.
30-year-old English championship players to secure our death grip on mid-table. That's what we need.
Don't. We cannot let this go past without signing someone. We absolutely have to sign at least two players. Let's talk about that in our next podcast.
Yeah.
Nathan, it's been a joy. I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm just absolutely buzzing.
I'm going to go for a run.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You'll accidentally run to Windsor, I think. Right, thank you very much for listening. You can follow us at The Extra Inch, email us at theextrainch@thefightingcock.co.uk, and we'll be back soon with a full episode, hopefully with Bardi. Bye for now.
It's the fighting. Clock! It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock!
Oh, that was really interesting, mate, yeah.